This is the Day Zero Update for February 26th, 2017. I'm Filippo D'Onofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And yeah, we thought we wouldn't have anything to talk about this week, but then we remembered it's the week that the Nintendo Switch launches, so yeah, that kind of sucked the whole air out of everything. But yeah, there are also a few other very interesting stories that happened this week, and we'll probably be talking about those along with the Switch. Before we do that, I think it's probably fair to catch up on what we've been doing this week. So I'll start us off. More same old, same old. You know, Defense Grid 2, been playing Double Dragon 4. Jumped back into Forza Motorsport 6 the other day because why not? It's a great game, and I should play more of it. Got that. And also started futzing around with EPSXe, the PlayStation emulator.
Ooh, how's that been going for you?
It works great.
Hmm.
Yeah, it works
good.
Really well, even on Android. Yep. Hmm. So, it works really well on a phone. It will pair to Bluetooth controllers, so you could use, your DualShock 3s or 4s, whatever you want. You can play PSX games on your phone with those. And one thing I really like about this particular emulator is it's got a very, very accurate software renderer. It's not, it does have plugins for OpenGL renderers and stuff like that, but the software one is really good looking. It gets the look of the PlayStation right without, introducing weird artifacts. It only introduces the artifacts that are supposed to be there. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. It's just, the easiest way to notice it is the, if you remember Castlevania Symphony of the Night when in the intro where the photo burns there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most emulators don't do that properly. This one does. So, yeah. Worth checking out. It's free.
So that in and of itself makes it strong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this one on the Play Store, or do you need to download the APK somewhere else?
It's on the Play Store.
Okay.
Yep. Mm.
So that would work on the Chromebooks that are running Play Store beta.
Pretty much, yeah.
I was going to say, I don't really recommend doing this on a device that you only have the touch screen for input.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you have Bluetooth, well...
Yep. Can then you're set.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This is going to be a thing now.
this will be a thing. PlayStation on the Chromebook. Hey, that's can't go wrong there. Yeah. So that's been my week. How about you, Pat?
Getting back to old habits, like I'd been saying, lots of Ridge Racers 2. I've actually got some new videos that I'm going to be uploading probably right after this podcast. Also, Heaven's Ward. I'm working on gearing up and hopefully getting rid of this bastard, stupid-looking body armor that I've been stuck with for way too long now.
Are you going to craft it, or are you just going to buy it, or are you questing it?
I'm just going to quest it. It's end-game stuff. I'm just so done with looking like this. It motivates me to grind levels, though. I mean, to grind dungeons.
And never underestimate the power of a fashion faux pas. It's like...
So, nope. I'll be working at that throughout the day. But other than that, just getting ready to really start grinding away on Street Fighter V and King of Fighters 14 again. Local players have started talking about future gatherings again, so I'm looking forward to that. And it'll be interesting because I was a Ryu main the last time we were holding those. So,
yeah, surprise. They don't know what to expect.
Geef, it's what's for dinner. How about you, Brandon?
Well, I finished Titanfall 2. The campaign, not quite as long as it probably could be, but man, it was good while it lasted. 100% is an amazing, just an amazing campaign, and the ending is damn near perfect.
Yeah.
Really, yeah, I'm just sad this game got kind of swallowed up by all the other stuff that released that month.
Yeah.
Because they basically addressed every major issue people had with its predecessor when it came out, including a very solid campaign.
Yeah.
Which, granted, they could have just put a regular single-player computer, you know, section in there, and it would have been superior to what we got to the original yeah. Titanfall. But so yeah, I finished that. So I went back into The Witcher 3. Like I said, you know, it had been a while since I'd played this, and I had forgotten just how difficult this game can be.
Yeah.
It's not unfair, is something I should point out. The game isn't, you know, it. You have to play the game on its own terms, because otherwise it will kill you in a very short amount of time.
Yep.
You know, it's not just a regular hack and slash. You have to basically prepare yourself before you go into it. Got to get all the right equipment and stuff, got to get your traps prepared and your potions and all that stuff before you go into a major battle.
Yeah.
And it's generally a good idea to have a good amount of supplies on you at any given time, because even just the regular enemies, if enough of them gain up on you, will take you out very quickly.
Yeah. And then there's Gwent.
Yeah, and then there's Gwent, and
we know what it does to you.
Mm-hmm. And other than that, I actually played Karateka. You guys remember Karateka? The game Jordan Mechner made before
Prince of Persia. Yep.
One of the foundations of the fighting game genre.
Yeah. Which version did you play?
The original one, DOS one.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. They've got it like on websites. You can play it.
Yeah.
I loved the little sort of the little bits of details he put in there, like, for example, those friggin' birds.
Fucking birds.
Probably my favorite thing of the whole thing is, you know, you're basically going to rescue your girlfriend or whatever at the end, and you have to make sure that you're not in a fighting stance when you approach her, because otherwise she kicks you in the nuts and you die.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it was one of the most devious little gaming traps that that I've seen in quite some time.
Oh yeah. But it's weird that get how old that game is, and yet it's still pretty solid.
Yeah. It's definitely a game of its time. You can definitely see the age of the mechanics there, but they all work. It's still fun.
And even the animation in a lot of ways still holds up. Admittedly, it's not quite as smooth as Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
But it still looked pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So
I love the whole silent movie vibe that the game has. It's very, very stylish for the day.
Yeah, well, that was and not so much stylish so much as it was just a brilliant piece of managing resources.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he knew going into this he didn't have a big budget, and this was pretty much a solo project. So, you know, Mechner just decided, you know, I'll keep my options limited, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, don't play the Famicom version, because that one sucks.
No. Yeah, just don't play.
That could be said for most of his games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of his games being the 4.
Yeah.
Jordan Mechner has literally only made 4 games in his career.
Yeah.
But yeah, just either play the computer one or play the remake. They're both worth it. So that's what I've been doing. What about you, Teresa?
Kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. I played a little more Final Fantasy 15 and then I had to return the game to the library, so I did not finish. I do think that I will check it out again and play a little bit more. I wouldn't buy it.
Mm.
We'll just leave it there. Played some Skyrim. I was kind of jonesing for that, so worked on that a little bit, and I played too much Civilization VI, entirely too much. And I got a Steam controller for my birthday, and I was playing with a controller, and not sold.
No.
Not sold. It's, I don't know, it kind of hurts my head to play at the TV. I have a 40-inch and a 60-inch, and both of them kind of hurt my head to play there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I prefer to play on a laptop with a touchpad.
Yeah.
Which, that probably sounds weird to most Civ players, but it's how it works for me.
Mm.
You know, when you have sore wrists, you don't want to be mousing around all over the place.
Yeah.
But I finally started Pokemon Moon. I got that for Christmas, and that's fun. I'm liking it. Not really anything different. It does seem a bit of the same old, but there's kind of a funny...
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah! There's kind of a funny bird joke in there. Some guy was doing a haiku or something on the beach, and he was talking about seagulls and their droppings, and that was about the time my kiddo was watching me play over my shoulder, and he and I just looked at each other like, is that guy for real? What? So, and then Pokemon Go, the second gen, about 80-something new Pokemon dropped, and I have been playing a lot. A lot. Finally hit level 30.
Yeah. So I bet you're probably waiting for the weather to start warming up, so...
I think it was Wednesday. I did get out and do a lot of walking, and I took my usual gyms back. And then I got up this morning, and I knew that my 21-hour cooldown was over, and I could collect my coins again. And surprise, surprise, somebody was busy Saturday night. So I am in no gyms right now, and I am not very happy about it. So, yeah, I got to go prestige up three of my usual, and I don't know if there's different teams holding the other two that I usually stay in. So, yeah, that's definitely been draining my battery.
Yep.
What have you been up to, Chris?
Let's see. Doing a little bit of a Switch prep. I got in my micro SDXC card today, 128 gigs.
Yeah,
that for a little bit under $40.
Yeah,
I got it from Amazon because they had that whole deal. It's like $8 and change off of any order, $50 or more. Mm. Earlier this week.
Oh yeah, so but that. Video games were exempt from that, which pissed me off.
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. Some accessories were okay.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'll just get my card for the Switch out of the way. Mm. And I also got Dragon Ball Z Season 3 with that too. Push it over $50.
Cool.
So it's like, oh, I can continue both of my habits. other things I've been playing is just some beta stuff. Disc Jam is a Windjammers clone.
Mm.
Controls really well. A lot of the same options that that Windjammers had, but instead of like a top-down view, it's more of a third-person behind-the-back view, like a modern tennis game.
Hmm.
And this beta is online only, so I've not been able to get online because there's just not that many people and the matchmaking takes a while.
Hmm.
It doesn't really tell you... It should tell you like how many people are online so you know not to waste your time or not. Yeah,
but it doesn't.
Yeah. Like I was watching Giant Bomb's video, and they're sitting there for like 5 minutes. Not sure if they should switch servers or changing settings or whatever. Eventually they got in. It looks like it's a really cool game. They're definitely taking some cues from Rocket League, trying to get that vibe off of out of their game.
I hope there's going to be some single-player stuff in there, too, in case the multiplayer doesn't take off.
Yeah, just for this beta, it's the online beta.
Okay.
So they're going to have single-player. It's going to have two-player matches and one-on-one matches, so you'll be able to play with, you know, up to three other people, all that sort of stuff. Seems cool so far. If you want to try it, they're pretty much... They should be giving out codes to anybody that asks. Yeah. Just go to their site. Just give them your email. They'll send out codes pretty quick. So it's pretty easy to get into, so I want to do a video of that whenever I can get somebody to play. Because I can't make videos if I can't get into matches.
Yeah. Well, you can show the menu.
That's what happened with Let It Die. Yeah. I wanted to make a match, make a video that seven people on it.
Mm.
Every time I wanted to play, it's like, this is going to look like shit if I do a video.
Yeah.
The other beta I've been playing is the Ghost Recon Wildlands beta.
Yeah.
Which is going on this week as an open thing. And I like it as like a, it kind of gives me vibes of like the Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
And that's like a big open world and you're going around finding pockets of enemies, and it's fun to sort of play with the AI. The bad part is that it seems like it's going to put most of the work on the player of making their own fun out of it. It doesn't seem like it's going to do much to help you out.
That's typical of Ubisoft games these days, though.
Yeah, because it's like there's not much personality here. Like the story apparently is the CIA had a guy down there in, I forget what country it was, it's in South America. He's been there for 6 years trying to bring down this leader of this cocaine cartel, and he gets killed. And so you're sending down this elite unit of the ghosts to sort of kill everybody, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so there are points, story things like, oh, you got to work with the local rebels and all that sort of stuff. It potentially kind of has like a mercenaries vibe to it a little bit. That there's like these, you know, X amount of cartel leaders that you got to take down, things like that. And there's some stuff here that's pretty good. It has a weird like RPG mechanic, but you don't get XP for killing enemies. It's like for just completing the main missions.
Huh.
It just feels very, very weird when I level up. It's like, oh, this thing I level up on, okay. There's some skill stuff to improve. You get a drone that you can fly around. That's how you do your scouting. I don't think you can set off like the enemies. I don't think they give a damn there's a drone flying around. I haven't specifically driven it into any enemies. So I might have to try that out. Yeah, it's kind of cool to fly that around and spot enemies and just line up sort of sync shots and stuff like that. So there's some fun stuff there. I just don't think I'm going to even touch it.
Yeah,
I think it comes out pretty soon. I don't think I'm going to touch it till it's like $30.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense to bother with this when we've got... I got a lot of money. It's going to be going to retailers over the next week or so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when this is coming out. I'm trying to look it up. When's it out? Oh, March 7th. Yeah. Fuck you.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, it's out next week.
Yep.
Nobody knows it. But yeah, I've also been playing Mass Effect 3, playing some more of that. I got Garrus on my team now.
Yep.
And the Prothean. I had that DLC.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got him. What else? I think I'm on the Citadel because there's like a bunch of stuff happening on there now.
Mm-hmm.
I love the animation of the husks.
Oh, they're running
because it's real stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're taking just extremely long strides and just It looks so fucking stupid for this. But I got the Prothean rifle. So I just have this laser blast that I can just keep centering on enemies and not having to worry about ammo ever again.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just trying to earn money and just power that up all the way and hopefully keep that going on until the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I like how the RPG part of that is just so weird. It's like, oh, you read this data thing and here's XP. What? Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything. It's it's just real weird. But yeah, so far so good. Just gonna keep plowing through that. The other thing I've been playing is NBA 2K16. I got that 16, downloaded. Huh? Yeah, that was the free with PS Plus.
Oh, yeah, that's true. A while back.
Yeah.
And so I got my external hard drive and all that set up on PS4, so I downloaded that. Initially had to piss myself off because for whatever reason my external hard drive was acting up, where it's like, oh, your external hard drive's not connected, or you got disconnected incorrectly last time you shut it down. It's like, I haven't touched it. So now it's like occasionally when I start it up, it's like, you disconnected it incorrectly. Repair it. What? And there's like an hour or so where I was thinking that I don't like that, like another big game recently, and it's thinking like I have to re-download all of these huge games on the external hard drive.
Mm.
Eventually I got it all sorted out for the most part. But I've been playing that and getting back into my career mode, and I'm reminded how much I enjoy it, but then it pisses me off just as much. just because of the stupid, overly done presentation at times that it refuses to let you skip past things.
Yeah.
It's like here, like the post-game report, you have to sit there and stare at a post-game report by 2K Sports. It's like, I know who made the damn game. I just want to skip all this. But you have to sit there for like 5-10 seconds. And it's like, just let me skip.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me skip past all of this, and maybe I'll watch it sometime.
Yeah.
But, when things go poorly, I want even less of that bullshit, which was happening in my last game. Mm-hmm. It's something I want to keep playing just to, I don't know, fuck around with some sports stuff.
Yeah.
From time to time on PS4, at least.
Yeah.
Especially while I wait for MLB The Show coming out in about a month.
Mm.
And, that's been mostly it. So I think we can move on.
All right. So, yeah, this week, I guess we could safely say that this week is the opening of the floodgates.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got, this week alone, we've got Horizon Zero Dawn coming out. Hope you've got about 60 or so gigs free on your PS4 because you're going to need it.
Yep.
Torment is also coming out. So
Torment, Tides of Numenera. Or Numenera. I have no idea how to
pronounce. Unpronounceable fantasy name.
Yeah. But that's the kickstarted RPG that was made.
Follow up to Planescape Torment?
Or is it thematically?
Thematically, yeah, but not setting wise.
Yeah. And then there's some Nintendo thing coming out.
Nintendo's Switch on Friday.
I saw that Suikoden 4 is coming out on PS4. Is that one of the good ones? No?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of those games. And
I think 3, 4, and 5 are the good ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Looks like Konami remembered that they have games that people want, so...
They seem to be tiptoeing their way back into the gaming industry.
Yeah. Now... Hopefully they can do it, you know, and not suck. But I don't really hold out too much hope at this point. So. But yeah. So yeah,
I don't mind anything that they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Maybe Bomber Girl.
Well, yeah, I do mind that.
That waifu MOBA.
It's it's not really MOBA. Isn't it just an arcade version of Bomberman?
No, it's 4-on-4 MOBA.
No.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay, that could stink.
With sexy bomber girls that get their clothes ripped off.
Yeah. because Japan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Japan arcades, too. So, yeah.
Put in 100 more yen and see the clothes come off.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So that's this week. As far as news stories, well, we'll start off with AMD's launched the Ryzen 7 CPUs after 4 years of development and Intel not bothering to do anything with their processor lineup in the past 4 years. AMD's going after them hardcore with this lineup. I know Pat's probably got a PC build this year. So
if I can find the money for it, yeah.
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 But yeah, let's I'll run through some of these, well, the specs and whatnot for these this particular line. This is the Ryzen 7, which is their high-end line. They're launching three parts. All of them will have 8 cores, 16 threads. The Ryzen 7 1700 comes in at $329. For that, you get 3 gigahertz base clock, 3.7 gigahertz boost. Going head-to-head, basically, with the Intel i7 7700K and coming in at about $20-$30 less. It also goes toe-to-toe with the 6800K, which is quite a bit more expensive. So there's that. The next one up is the 1700X. That's 3.4 base, 3.8 boost. That one's coming in at $399. And their flagship is the 1800X.
And this is for chips.
Yeah.
Yep.
This one is a 3.6 gigahertz base, 4 gigahertz boost. This one comes in at $499 and is going head-to-head against Intel's i7-6900K.
Mm-hmm.
Which is currently selling for $1,025.
I'll pass.
Yeah. Yes. So this this particular CPU line is very aggressively priced against what Intel has to offer. But this is the high end. This is just the first step in what AMD is going to be launching soon. They've also got a Ryzen 5 for the mid range and a Ryzen 3 for the low end. Expect those to go up against the i5 and i3 respectively. And those will probably be very interesting for people looking to do system builds on a more reasonable budget. So those will be 6-core, 4-core, and 2-core parts going down the line. So, yeah, from what we're seeing so far and the preliminary benchmarks that we're seeing, it absolutely was worth the wait. Much better efficiency as far as power goes. So, you know, I don't have to, use my CPU as a space heater anymore.
Yeah.
Although that was a nice feature, I must say. In the winter, that's actually kind of nice. You just start a encode and handbrake and just, nice. So.
You probably also won't have to get, a gold PSU either. You spend, like $89 on that.
Yeah.
Well, for a new system build.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Ryzen 7, the low end, the 1700, comes in at a 65 watt.
Nice.
Yeah, compared to the current 125 that my processor is eating. So, yeah,
that is a space heater.
Yeah. So, it's good to see AMD, being competitive again. And this will probably make Intel maybe drop their prices or maybe push their roadmap forward. I don't know. Lately, I've kind of come to the conclusion that Intel just doesn't care about the desktop market anymore. So it might be opening the door for AMD to just take it from them. So you never know. So there. Yeah. Yeah. I'll, when the Ryzen 5 and Ryzen 3 come out, I'll let you guys know and probably build some systems around it and see what you get for your money. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting news.
Yeah, it is. We haven't had, AMD hasn't been competitive since,
a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now they're right up there. So, all right. So moving on, we got a game that we're both, me and Pat, really, really looking forward to. Old Time Hockey.
Yes.
Yeah. has a release date.
It's basically an NHL 94 remake by way of the 70s.
Yeah.
more particularly by way of the movie Slapshot, if any of you have seen that, and if you haven't, then what's wrong with you?
Yes.
yeah, I can't wait for this one.
Yeah.
It's not there to scratch the EA Sports itch. It's something else entirely, but that something else is really something that we've been needing in gaming.
Yeah. And that will be coming out the 28th of March on PS4, Windows, and Xbox One, which was recently
Xbox
announced.
One's coming later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Xbox One and Switch are coming later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PS4 and PC are March 28th.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Code requests are already in, so yeah.
Yes.
We'll get those.
Oh my God, are they absolutely killing people in this video?
They totally are.
This is great.
Exactly.
<That's my> hockey stick.
This is what we've wanted in a hockey game for years.
Oh my God, look at that guy. This is great, you guys. You gotta, if you're listening to this later, try to get a link to this YouTube video. This is great.
Yep.
Oh, it gets better. You should watch the original trailer.
Oh yeah, that one was even better. Yeah.
Plenty of chaos and just out and out bloodshed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dancing. So.
Sounds like a Monty Python movie.
Yep.
You really need to watch Slapshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can find it on.
Immediately after the show, go watch Slapshot. You will not regret it.
Yeah. It's on my Plex server, so. Yeah.
I was just about to say, I have to search for that on Plex.
Yeah, it's totally there. Yeah, I wouldn't be, good Canadian if I didn't have a copy of Slapshot.
So, right.
Yeah. All right, so moving off from that, the rumors of the Shenmue remakes continue.
Oh, yeah.
Really picked up here in the last couple days. At this point, it seems like there's just too much smoke gathering for there not to be some kind of fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing some pretty big outlets starting to report on it. Still only calling it a rumor, but when it gets this big, an announcement is imminent.
And we have the impending, I say impending, but still official release date for, Shenmue 3.
Yeah.
Which will be coming up eventually.
Yeah.
So it would be in Sega's best interest to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got to get this out so people can play through them and get their save files ready for Shenmue 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, getting on the same page with Yu Suzuki and his team so that the
Sonic 2 to 3
will be compatible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really hope that they keep the original voice acting.
I don't.
No, just no.
But then I was happy about them fixing Symphony of the Night, so
yeah.
I thought the voice acting was part of the game's charm, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I mean,
it depends on if you have an appreciation for camp or not.
It was so eminently quotable.
Yeah. You know where sailors hang out?
I'm looking for some sailors.
And in the localization studio, somebody had to be aware of the implications of the reference.
Yeah.
And they were just trying not to bust out laughing at the entire thing.
Yeah.
That's going to be one of the trophies you get.
Yeah, probably.
Just mark my words.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. I can actually see them going back and retranslating it and redubbing it.
Yeah.
Oh, that is incidental. It's still going to be a trophy in there.
Oh, yeah. Probably still will be.
I mean, it's one of the most quoted lines in the game. How can it not be?
Yeah.
And frankly, I say they need to, but I'm pretty sure they're already doing this. They're going to redo the controls, update them, because
Well, they've got a really good they've got a really good blueprint for how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Yakuza,
and
yeah, well, they do.
We also have an extra analog stick now that wasn't there before. So
yeah,
that's true. Hmm. I think that's what people really. A lot of people don't realize that.
Hmm.
You know, before there was a whole like generation of fully 3D games where you know it was just one analog stick.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah, outside of place
here, Sony deciding, you know what, this sucks.
Yeah.
Let's fix it.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I also would like them to sort of slow down the day-night cycle. Because one of my biggest complaints
Make
about...
Make it adjustable.
The,
yeah.
Yeah, because one of my biggest complaints about the original is that a day went by too fast.
Yeah.
And it didn't really give you enough time to go and explore everything.
Yeah.
And also, I would put more fighting in there.
Yeah.
Give yourselves a bit more places where you can actually have that combat, because combat was actually pretty fun.
Do you add random encounters Yakuza style?
I wouldn't necessarily go that far.
No.
Yeah, I think the random encounters are kind of pertinent to the setting, too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But, you know, a sparring gym or something like that, you could...
A tournament or something.
Yeah.
So. Where you can earn money.
Tournament arc.
Yep, where you can earn money and, you know, enjoy all of those various things you can get.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, if they go the full remaster route with those, you know, more likely they'll just end up upscaling and just making them work properly on the new systems, but...
I'd be okay with that, too.
I'd take that, too, at this point, so... All right. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, we're hitting almost the 5-year anniversary of when they were first starting the Shenmue HD. Like, I found articles March 17th, 2012.
Yeah.
That probably was just a rumor at that point.
Yeah.
Because those are saying it was up on PartnerNet, ready to go. They're just, Sega's holding it from you. They're lying to you. They got them done. They're ready to go.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah, because they're that bad of a business. They finish games.
It's they finish games and don't release them. Yeah, because that makes a lot of sense.
We spent all this millions of dollars on this just to not give it to you.
Yeah.
Anyways. Some people actually believe that.
Yeah. Some people read Breitbart. So that. Anyways, ZeniMax is still at it with Oculus.
This isn't smart.
No.
Nope.
You settle.
Yeah, now they're asking for an injunction.
How can this not go well?
Well, this will go well for Oculus, that's for sure. This is not going to go well for ZeniMax.
Yep. People gotta go buy it just in case.
Yeah, because by the time this actually manages to make its way through the courts, it'll be irrelevant anyway because the products that they're actually suing over will have already just been revised.
Yep.
So,
and it's not like ZeniMax really won the last lawsuit.
No,
right.
They just got like a technicality judgment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this seems like a blatant cash grab to me.
Yeah.
But given who's, you know, on ZeniMax's board, I can't say I'm entirely too surprised.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a bunch of old guys who think everything is theft. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
And ZeniMax.
This is pretty part and partial to sort of the cycle of old media going up against new media.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Nintendo went through the same crap with Donkey Kong.
Yeah. And the whole King Kong lawsuit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With Universal. Yeah, that was that was fun.
And Nintendo won that lawsuit, and they've never had a problem with it ever again.
No, and now they're the ones who sue over Donkey Kong.
Yeah, that was the joke.
Yeah. So
now they're suing karting companies.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, car.
Ugh, joy. Yeah, and other shady people news. Digital Homicide's lawsuit against Jim Sterling has been dropped.
Yep.
James Romine has decided that it would be a good idea to dismiss the lawsuit with prejudice, which means he cannot refile on those claims. Maybe, you know, making a whole bunch of games that are really shitty and then being upset that people call you on your bullshit, maybe that's not such a great basis for a legal argument. I'm just saying.
Or even Digital Homicide in the gaming industry.
I mean, Digital Homicide, their whole business is basically asset flips. I mean, that's literally all they do.
Yeah, well, they basically use just... I don't know that they're not like a straight up asset flipper. What they tend to do is they take assets and then just mash them all together with no coherent theme behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is worse, because then it looks like you might be getting a game that you're actually not. So
yeah. And then on top of all that, they still act like they think they're making art or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah. Digital Homicide is basically no more at this point. You know, their games are no longer on Steam, and I don't think they ever will be again. With Steam Direct coming up, I think that might actually prove to be more of a hindrance to them, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because somebody will actually have to look at those games now.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, it's good to see this story end. And, all the best to both parties, because they both have to pay legal costs.
Mm-hmm.
So, great job on that. So, in our next story, we got some pretty interesting news here about PlayStation VR. Got some sales numbers here, 915,000 sales. That's pretty good for something that hasn't actually been out a year yet.
At that cost of admission, it's spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they said their expectations was about 1 million in 6 months. We're at about four. So they got up till about mid-April. And they said they should be able to get their supply improved by April, so that people won't have to game plan for when stock comes in.
Yeah.
I think you can kind of sort of thank Resident Evil 7 in part for this one.
Yeah.
Still hovering around 10% of the user base is playing that game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So 10% of 915,000 is, you know,
well, of the 91,000 players.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 140,000, I think it was last.
Okay, so about 14,000 players who have been scared.
About a sixth.
Yeah, scared crapless out of.
Oh yeah,
fear shitting.
Yeah,
that's one way of doing that.
Yeah. But it's really.
Yeah, and I guess Farpoint got a date, May 16th. So that with the new AIM controller.
Yeah.
Going to be out less than 3 months.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think that Stormblood Arena that we saw at PlayStation Experience is out in April, so they got some good games coming up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Sony was very smart for pricing it the way they did. It's got it helps people get in at a decent price point, get a decent experience, and if they want to go with the more high-end stuff on the PC later on, they can, but they're pretty well served with PS4 and PS Pro.
I think people have already started figuring out how to make the PlayStation VR work on PC.
Yeah, there's a driver available for it. But you can do a little bit of hackery and get it to play Oculus games. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it says here, Mr. House said he would be very happy if the product ends up being purchased by a high single-digit percent of all PS4 owners.
Hmm. I think they're well on their way there.
Yeah, I think they're like 2-3% right now.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, GameStop is going to be changing their terrible Circle of Life program this week, it looks like.
Yep.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Instead of it being individual scores, it'll be for whole stores. So they won't be singling out individual people and then disciplining them based on that, which is sort of how it should go.
Mm-hmm.
They don't judge the whole store by one person.
Right.
It's an improvement, I guess. Yeah.
I think it's still possible to be a victim of circumstance under that system, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get singled out quite as easily. It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, there's not going to be the impetus for somebody to be pushing used games when they've got, you know, new copies in stock or, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. We'll see how it goes. And I'm sure we'll hear people complain about it when that launches, too. So, because people complain about everything.
Yeah, they've said they've heard from people in the know about this that it's a welcome change.
Yeah.
Something that's been very much needed. So that people aren't forced to lie or whatever.
Yeah.
Just try to meet their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So... All right, in other news, Irrational Games, Ken Levine's studio, is rebranding to Ghost Story Games, which is actually a pretty appropriate name given the kind of thematic, you know, stuff that they like to do.
Yeah.
Very atmospheric, very, you know.
Yeah, the way they say it is ghost stories are immersive, exciting, and steeped in community. The name reminds us of our mission.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's actually really cool, and it's better than Irrational, which I guess was okay at the time, but...
It was an irrational name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just kind of made it up. So, yeah, I'm guessing System Shock is going to be published under the Ghost Story brand, so that'll be cool. In other news, Eric Wolpaw, the writer... For Portal and some of those really great games that Valve has produced.
Yeah.
He's leaving Valve to do other things.
Yeah, Valve has started sort of hemorrhaging some of their major talent recently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they maybe, you know, try actually releasing a game now and then, that might actually help keep them there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's busy working on Psychonauts 2 as the head writer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's over at Double Fine doing that. But yeah, it makes me wonder, like, does Valve even have any more really talented writers there? Because it seems like all of them are leaving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, Valve.
Yeah.
You can't coast on Steam forever.
Yeah. Well, actually, they can. That's the sad part about it. They really can.
Yeah. They are, for all intents and purposes, a first-party company.
Yeah. It's they have a distribution platform that everybody wants to be on.
Arguably the biggest first-party company.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for PC games, yeah. So, all right.
And it seems like they need some of their newer blood to step up and take on some projects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus this, like, old blood that's... seeing the company change drastically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't know what's going on over there. So. It's hard to speculate because Valve is just so weird as a company culture. It's unlike anything else. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll just wait and see how that goes. So we got some JRPG news.
Square Enix getting predatory.
Yeah.
Poaching Hideo Baba from Namco Bandai
And immediately putting him on a project.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't know much about it except that the studio is called Studio Estolia, which is taken from the Greek word for history. Yeah. And apparently what they're saying is that it's a key word for the studio. So that should be interesting in and of itself. Project Prelude Rune is the name of the project right now. It's a new IP. They haven't really shown much of it, except some concept art. Definitely looks to be a little different stylistically from the Tales series, but at the same time, it looks like it could be fairly consistent with it. So,
hey, got this big bony dragon looking thing.
Yeah.
We'll see where they go with it.
Yeah.
Next to an elf. So, dragon, elf, JRPG.
It's like a Moogle or something. Straight up.
Yeah. We're good.
Yep. Totally okay with this.
Yep.
All right. And I'm also okay with King's Tale Final Fantasy 15 coming to the PS4 and Xbox One for free. This was...
That's the beat-em-up, right?
Yeah, this was a side-scroller.
Yeah, GameStop.
Yeah, it was a pre-order. Yeah.
See, I would actually play this.
Yeah, I will play this.
Yeah, it's free. You got no reason not to.
Exactly. Yep. So, yeah.
I don't know. I've played free games that have left me still wanting my money back. Just to be fair.
But yeah, well, you know, this was something that they put together as a pre-order for the game, so I don't know.
Some people are wondering if that was ever going to get away from that.
Yeah.
Such as dying with GameStop.
Yeah, so it looks like, Square Enix.
Just a terrible fate for anything.
Yeah. It looks like Square Enix wants more people to play this one, so yeah, it's going to be free, and I will download it, and I will play quite a bit of it. Probably finish it, because looks like it's one of those games I actually could finish. So, probably do it in an afternoon. So, well, good.
And you're not one of those weirdos that paid $60 for code for this.
Yeah.
From eBay.
Yeah. I don't do that. No. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that one. What's the date that this one?
It's on Wednesday?
Okay, cool.
It makes me wonder, though, they're doing this obviously because it's something that they're proud of and they want as many people playing it as possible, obviously.
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of point to it leading to future content?
I hope so.
Yeah. Lots of DLC for 15 coming.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean that. I mean more games like this in particular. Maybe a future spin-off to another Final Fantasy in this vein, maybe something to that. I don't know,
It's definitely a possibility. I mean, if the reception is positive to something like this, then I'm sure they'll do it.
This is just like one of the million projects that came out of Final Fantasy 15. Like, oh god, we gotta have our anime or CG movie, this weird
the media blitz is incomplete.
Yep.
Like, they were supposed to get away from making a million projects out of each game.
Yeah.
It costs a lot of money, and they ended up doing it anyway.
Yeah.
But then Nomura got his hands on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is totally a Nomura thing.
Yeah. So, there. All right, superhero news.
I think a lot of people have to remember is Nomura kind of came into his own as a designer and a developer basically right around the time Final Fantasy VII took off.
Yeah. Well, as a designer. Mm. As a developer, he was kind of booted into the role when all those Mistwalker guys left.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of relegating people to the role of game designers. And I guess somewhere along the way, he kind of bought into his own ability to do it.
Well, he did Kingdom Hearts, which nobody thought was going to be as good as it turned out to be. So he just got filled up with his own hubris, I guess.
And he's still doing Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the thing. All right, we got Marvel news. Interesting that Marvel's upcoming games are not going to require that they tie into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is, I think, a good thing.
Good, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a very smart decision on their part.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're tying this to Spider-Man from Insomniac Games, Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and the Avengers project from Square Enix.
Yeah.
So that's
a lot.
Yeah, who knew that they want Marvel developers to tell all new stories with their characters.
Yeah,
if they want to.
Yeah,
I mean, it's first of all that I really do want to play that Spider-Man game Insomniac's making.
Yeah,
because it looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yes, it looks.
And if anybody, and let's face it, we haven't had a good Spider-Man game in
since Spider-Man 2 on a PS2.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had people internally that fought over who would be the game director. Who's the biggest nerd?
Of course they did.
As for the Guardians of the Galaxy game, that's Telltale.
That's so Telltale.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah, I'm so buying that. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'll be playing the crap out of that game. Episodic, so it's like it's gonna piss me off. I'll finish it in like a day, and then I have to wait for the next couple of weeks for the next one to come out.
Yeah.
God damn it! Yeah. Oh boy. So yeah, some weird and very interesting news from the Wonder Boy camp. Wonder Boy: The Dragon's Trap will have a retro and new visuals as well, and it'll support old passwords. Because
how that's going to work, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all of the old passwords are pretty much printed all over the place on the internet, so it was like,
yeah, but applying them to a different game.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this password did this thing in Wonder Boy 3, but what does it do here?
Oh man, I would hate to be the guy on the development team who has to go through all of those passwords and like put in equivalencies for them. Oh god.
And you have to figure out what each part of it means.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I wonder if they don't just have the old code and they can just kind of reconstruct them.
Maybe. It looks pretty cool, though, how you can switch between the graphic styles.
Yeah.
You know, there's
just push a button and you can swap between them.
Yeah.
Pretty that's pretty cool.
Yeah. This is the Wonder Boy game I want to play, like, really.
Yes.
And Monster Boy. I want to play that, too. Just give me all of the Wonder Boy, like, right now.
Yeah, it should be out this spring for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So before we get to our Nintendo Switch launch prep, we should probably talk about a couple of upcoming releases, indies. So yeah, you want to take these on, Chris?
Yeah. So you might know Matt Torson as the creator of Towerfall.
Yeah.
He announced a little while ago that he was working on a new game called Celeste, which is a single player platformer. Very much is inspired by some of the Control stuff that was in Towerfall. It's going to be coming to Switch, PS4, and Steam in 2017. He has a nice trailer up on his Twitter account, especially with that Switch snap thing.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. Definitely a game that people that like their retro looking platformers that are looks like it's going to be able to kick your ass.
Yeah.
looks really cool. Definitely looking forward to that sometime this year whenever it gets out.
Yeah.
The second game is from Cellar Door Games, makers of Rogue Legacy. And their next game is actually quite a bit different from that. It is a co-op brawler, sort of 1 to 4 players, called Full Metal Furies. Not Full Metal Furries.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah.
They got on their site here, like, show you the four main characters. They have their different abilities. There's sort of the gun dude that can shoot people. You're like a long range dude. You got a shield dude. And you're a brawler He's got like a big hammer, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Solo, you can swap between two characters, sort of take just two with you. Bunch of interesting stuff here. They also got a trailer up that looks really cool. Seems like it might have something of a similar RPG mechanic as Rogue Legacy. But for the most part, it's going to be coming to Steam, Windows 10, and Xbox One later this year. I don't know if it's going to be Play Anywhere. They don't really mention that. They do say it's going to be about 15 to 20 hours long.
For a brawler, that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, no season pass. You can play online or locally. Let's see. Say it's going to be... This game is definitely hard. Not as difficult as Rogue Legacy, more forgiving. Because your gold isn't taken away when you die. No grinding mechanics like Rogue Legacy either.
No, we'll give this a try. Looks like something that I'll really enjoy, so give that a look.
Yep.
All right. So let's get on to the Nintendo Switch. It's launching on Friday, and we thought we'd give you a rundown of what's going on, what you need to know, and if you go walk into the store, what you can expect. So
we would suggest you bring a gun, because I have a feeling that the places are going to be swamped.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be crowded, but yeah. I don't think it's going to be NES Classic levels of stupid,
I think Reggie's onto something when he points out that it's a spring launch and that'll probably hurt the turnout.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I've luckily got a pre-order in at Best Buy for in-store pickup.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to go in on Thursday nights and pick it up at midnight.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
I think what else I have is I got a Pro controller coming through the mail because they didn't allow in-store pickup on that thing.
For some reason.
Yeah. But, also getting that's Zelda. I got the $100 edition that I used a gift card and some other promotion to get it down to 70. $70. So I get out of that pretty good position getting this big thing with the new... the cool thing this special edition has is it has a little carrying case.
Yeah.
Which looks pretty good. What else? Map. The soundtrack and the stupid coin.
Yeah.
And the game itself.
Yeah. On a cartridge.
Yeah.
And those cartridges are tiny.
I have one cartridge slot.
Yeah.
And that's what's going in there.
Yeah.
It's going to stay in there for a while. I'll probably get snipper clips as far as anything else is coming out.
Yeah, which brings us
that's
to our
launch plans.
Yeah, our launch plans, which I can expect we'll probably do some streaming. There will be a hardware review once we've had some time to really dig into it and see how the hardware has shaken out. There's going to be game reviews, of course. And expect probably on next Zero update, we'll all be talking about what we think of the system and see what we like, what we don't like, and all that fun stuff. So expect that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else is getting it?
That's got one. Yeah.
I may have to wait a little while.
Yeah. So.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, I'm going to have Horizon Zero Dawn and Torment and Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Andromeda.
You had to kind of pick one path or the other.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, should probably point out that, if you're going to be picking up a Switch, go ahead over to the Nintendo.com site, get yourself a Nintendo account all set up, because chances are, by the time that the system launches, those servers are going to be swamped. So you really will want to have that set up right away so you can, at least get your stuff activated and downloading and all that good stuff.
This would be a good idea for basically any console launch, but considering this is Nintendo and their internet track record is not exactly the best.
Yeah. Nintendo plus online equals not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering the features that they're actually putting online this time, the differences between simulated load and actual load are going to matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fortunately, they're actually rolling those features out in stages, so at least they've got that going. It should help things out a little bit. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. We should also point out that accessories for the Nintendo Switch are really freaking expensive. Remember, the cost of the... It's not just the cost of the system, but if you want a charge base, yeah, that's, well, a lot. Another, if you want a spare dock for the bedroom, that's $90. Pro controllers... Yeah,
Pro controllers, $70.
Yeah. Mm. Set of Joy-Cons, $80.
Yep.
Yeah, so... yeah, you may want to prioritize on what you get, because,
Oh, I am.
the money you could spend on accessories, you could probably be buying games. And with that in mind, you're probably, if you're going to be buying digital, you really want an SD card, because 32 gigs does not cut it. Yeah, it's funny. Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 will not even fit on the internal storage of the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked up how much my install for the first game is on PS4, and it's like 22 gigs.
Yeah.
So that fits.
Barely.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, it fits, as in, that sounds about right for the size.
But
that's... bundle of both games.
Mm. Yeah, this was kind of a surprise that I was even going to be able to take part, so money being a huge issue, I'm going to be going all in on games.
Yeah. Mm. You may as well. Getting cartridges actually might not be a bad idea if you're looking to save on storage, because they don't require installs.
Nope.
Right.
And that's...
Yeah, as expected.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. So that means the flash on that cartridge is actually fast enough to be able to load very quickly. Which is good, because that's the one thing about the PS Vita that kind of annoyed me. It's like, you put a cartridge in, and you have to also need to install it, because why?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, keep that in mind. One of the things that you won't see at launch will be the Virtual Console.
Nope. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's amazing that the Wii had the Virtual Console at launch. None other system since then has been ready at launch with that.
Yeah.
3DS, Wii U, Switch, nope.
Because it's kind of been an afterthought.
Yeah.
And you look at the Virtual Console on the Wii U compared to the Wii.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
You go onto the Virtual Console in Wii mode, it's like ordering off the secret menu.
Yeah.
Good stuff is.
Yeah.
It's been like the last few weeks that Nintendo's like putting out big stuff, like Ogre Battle 64 came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So here's Harvest Moon 64. It's like, where the hell was this shit?
Yeah,
what'd you do
this
before?
Damn about the Wii U.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, if you want to play Harvest Moon 64 again, well, you can get it on your Wii and then not play it on your Switch, because it probably won't be compatible.
Yeah. So far, it seems like no cross-buy stuff, no backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Despite Reggie saying, hey, we still got 40 some days left, we can talk about this stuff. Oh, you're running out, Reggie.
Yeah, now you got like 5, so hurry up and talk about that. So let's move on to the games and what's worth getting and probably what won't be. So we're going to get more info about the launch. As far as indies go, their Nindies Switch Showcase is going to be the 28th of February, so Tuesday. So expect a few more. Yeah, expect a few more games there to show up on the Switch launch lineup.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be a lot of the newer stuff, or it's going to be all the indies with their older stuff saying, "Hey, we got stuff. We want to bring it over."
Yeah,
Here's Rogue Legacy. Here's Rocket League. Here's all these other games.
Yeah,
that would still be good though. We need some newer stuff, too.
Yeah. So what else do we got? Oh, upselling stuff.
Yeah. That's the Skylanders Imaginators.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I figured writing it down as upselling fluff was probably the most accurate way to put it.
Yeah. Then there is, probably... That one's not going to be for everyone, and given that Activision is basically kind of walking away from this line, I don't think it's probably great to invest in it right now.
Yeah. No. So, it's just there because it's obligatory.
Yeah. And then there's, and speaking of course, Just Dance, because, yes, you can't, Ubisoft can't launch a system without a Just Dance title. That's just, it's not allowed, despite the fact that we wish it wouldn't be.
Controllers for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, the Just Dance 2017, whatever, it's going to be there. Blah. Nobody cares.
Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, what you should care about is Shovel Knight Treasure Trove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to make launch.
Yeah, that and the Spectre of Torment is getting a standalone release for $9.99.
Yeah.
But if you want Treasure Trove, which is basically the same as the edition that is out now on every other platform, that is going to be $24.99.
Yeah.
Which is worth it. They announced a while ago they're going to be increasing the price. Right now it's on sale on almost every other platform. Xbox isn't on sale.
Mm.
But it's $10 for, I think, until Thursday.
Ooh.
On all those platforms.
I am that's so jumping on that.
If you haven't bought it anywhere else, it's
dead on that shit.
Yeah.
And it's going to go up quite a bit afterwards. So
yeah,
buy it now or die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, even $24.99, what's in there now is,
it's still good.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's three campaigns essentially.
Yep.
Plus co-op and multiplayer. And I think all the other platforms are getting the Spectre of Torment update in April. It's Wii U, 3DS, PS4, Vita, PS3, Xbox One, PC, Linux, Mac, Steam, GOG, Humble Store, Amazon Fire TV.
All of the things.
All of the things. But Switch is getting it first, so that's
yeah,
that's something.
Yeah. Hmm. Just like the original release.
Yeah.
Nintendo got it first.
Yeah.
Not the other Nintendo stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. Then we have,
if they're going to launch a new version of it at this point, they might as well make it that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we have Tomorrow Corporation
coming out later this year, so
yeah,
buy in now, get it cheap, and you'll have four campaigns by the end of the year for $10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we have the stuff from Tomorrow Corporation, World of Goo, Human Resource Machine, Little Inferno. Yeah. Those may or may not make launch at this point.
Mm. Yeah. They said it would, and then we haven't heard from them yet.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Radio silence is bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
Keep
or
checking
typical
the store.
Indie stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, both all of those games are worth playing. Little Inferno is ridiculous and just a lot of fun, so play that crap. And of course, there's 1-2 Switch, which is selling for $60.
When it should have been bundled in with the system.
Yeah, basically. I cannot understand Nintendo's reasoning here. This is a game that could very well, you know, show off what the Switch could do and how it could be, you know, something that people would want to play multiplayer, and they're leaving it on the table.
How does anyone know how Nintendo Land did at the retail level?
It didn't.
You can't give them away at the thrift stores.
I know.
It was included for a while.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but even from day one, they were selling it separately, because if you didn't buy the 32 gig system, you didn't get Nintendo Land with it.
Yeah,
right.
So
yeah, that was the sucker system.
Yeah.
Yep, it really was.
Which they eventually dropped.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Here's 8 gigs of memory. Figure it out.
Yeah.
You're not buying anything off our store.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then, what else we got here? Snipperclips, $20.
Yeah.
Launch title.
You reviewing this one, Chris?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it's going to rely on having two people or one.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Somebody's dog has very strong opinions on this. Yeah.
He's excited for Switch.
Oh yeah, he's totally excited.
Switch.
Let me chew that $60 controller. Switch.
Yeah. So And then, of course, one of 2016's greatest RPGs, I Am Setsuna, is showing up as a launch title. Imagine that.
Yep. Still no physical version, which is a shame because I think that would have really put the Switch version over the top.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
This is one game that's contributing to the Switch's well-deserved early reputation as a likely big RPG system.
Yep.
And how long's it been since Nintendo had one of those as a console?
Yeah, it's been years.
Super NES, probably. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, since so RPG hopefully developers said, we're going handheld for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of the... giving games to the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Atlus has been focused on handheld for their RPG stuff for the most part.
Yeah pretty much.
Hmm. So yeah, that will be one to definitely get if you're into RPGs. If you haven't played it on any other platform, pick it up.
My review for the PS4 and PC version is up on SmashPad. I do not expect that the Switch version will be drastically different, except for some additional content. There was some multiplayer in there, online versus.
Yeah, they're gonna have DLC in the future for Colosseum mode.
Yeah.
But by and large, it's going to be much the same experience, and that's a very worthwhile experience for anyone who loves the genre. This studio is going to play a big role in Square Enix's future.
Mm-hmm.
And this game will show you why.
Yeah. Which brings us to a game that Pat is a very big fan of.
Yes.
It was probably one of the most underrated games on the Wii U, I would say. We're talking about Fast Racing Remix.
Yes. I didn't really think that you could take Quantum Redshift and Ikaruga and squeeze a concise game out of the two of them.
Mm.
But that's more or less what Sheena and Multimedia has done with the Fast series.
Mm.
And when I played Fast Racing Neo, it became obvious to me that they were auditioning for the F-Zero job.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo clearly doesn't seem to be interested in making one themselves. So, based on what I played, you know, with Fast Racing Neo, it was one of my top 10 games of 2015.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they should get that gig. I'm just really looking forward to seeing what they do with Fast Remix. It really, they're adding something called Hero Mode, which is basically Fast Racing Neo adopting the F-Zero GX system of trading shield energy for boost.
Hmm.
So, getting one step closer to that project.
Yeah. Well, they might end up doing, you know, pulling an Axiom Verge and making the game anyway, despite the fact that Nintendo doesn't want to. So, yeah.
Well, it seems to be where we're headed.
Yeah. So, Fast Racing Remix, that one is getting a physical release. No, it isn't.
I wish.
Yeah, no, that's a download.
It deserves one, and I would buy the shit out of it.
Yeah. What is getting physical is, a game that will probably sell a lot of Joy-Cons. That's Super Bomberman R. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Four-player Kabuminating.
Yes. I think aren't they doing eight-player with this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
four sets.
Yeah,
of
that's gonna be bananas. I can't wait to. Yeah. That's gonna take me back to those days in my late teens of having 10-player Bomberman nights on the Sega Saturn.
Yeah,
$50 for that one.
Yeah, yep, $50 for that one. Physical release.
Probably the best party game you're going to find on the Switch at launch, if not for a good time thereafter.
Yeah.
In addition to Fast Remix, I'm going to be reviewing this as well for SmashPad.
Yeah.
So that's that'll be my contribution to the coverage.
Yeah.
Yep.
And finally,
if you've never played a proper Bomberman game in multi, just take a look around for the footage of this game, because there's a reason it's one of the quintessential party games in gaming history.
Yeah, it's
I like they're celebrating the 33rd anniversary of Bomberman with this game.
Okay,
fuck them, whatever works.
33rd anniversary. Now you're just...
That's like the logo they're using. Yeah. It's Bomberman 33rd since 1983.
Nice. It's like, now you're just like reaching for things.
So, hey, we're still here.
That's actually the 34th anniversary, but whatever.
Yeah.
I imagine it might be later this year. It's 33rd until then.
Yeah. So, and finally, a game that will probably be a one-to-one seller with the Switch, and that's The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, except for Patrick, who's not buying it.
I'm going to screw that one up.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's pretty much a mandatory purchase at this point, but, yeah, you've already mentioned that you'll probably pick this up later, so.
Yeah, well, my plan right now, just because money's being a little bit tight, my day one purchases are just going to be Fast Remix and Super Bomberman R. I get those home. I'm probably going to miss Let's Weekend this week because of it.
Because
I'll just be getting home from work and sitting down and knocking out a bunch of, you know, coverage. But as soon as I get paid on the 7th, then as long as money permits, I'm going to add Zelda to that list.
Okay.
It's just a question of making sure the money's there and getting all my bills covered ahead of that.
Yeah.
Not something I'm going to take for granted, but...
Yeah.
So I didn't Zelda.
It's on my list, and I will have it sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of the games that, most people who are looking to get a Switch are really excited about. I've heard some interesting things that it actually runs better on portable mode than it does docked, for some reason. I can't figure that one out. That may just be pre-release firmware issues, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that's our confirmed launch lineup so far.
You know who the villain is of that Bomberman game?
No.
The Bugler.
Okay.
Him and the 5 Dastardly Bombers.
Yeah, that's
some Mega Man shit right there.
Yeah. The Bugler. It's like, you're just trying. So what do we think? It seems like a pretty decent lineup. The ones that
they've
have
done
been
a
confirmed.
Lot worse.
Yeah, they've done a lot worse. Nintendo themselves only have a handful of games in this, but they've got some decent third-party stuff and some decent indie stuff. So
yeah, they can save by indies.
Yeah,
indies and older games.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they got later on this year, they'll have Splatoon 2, they'll have, what's his face, Mario Kart, and then the new Mario game. If they can keep their momentum going, and more importantly, what Nintendo really needs to do is keep third-party interest in the Switch. Because, you do remember that the Wii U started off pretty strong with third-party support, and then it went away.
And when EA sends back their dev kits... as soon as they're done making their games.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, that's not good.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, that
ouch.
Was bad.
Hey, we're done. We're out.
We're out. See ya.
Yeah, they got FIFA that's supposed to be coming at some point.
Yeah, it'll be FIFA 18.
Supposedly, I didn't know this, but they have like a licensing agreement. They have to release that game on every platform. So that's their one guaranteed game.
Well, it's a good game to get on there, because it doesn't matter what platform you put it out on, it'll sell.
Yeah. Just hope that that's not EA saying, all right, peace, we're out.
Yeah, we'll see. I think we'll know how third-party support is going to shake out around, holiday time this year.
By E3, we'll know.
Yeah. We'll know a lot more. So, yeah, that's our...
Like, if you get out of the Nintendo conference or Nintendo Direct or whatever they end up doing, with the sudden urge to projectile vomit, they probably lost third-party support.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it. Keep an eye out on SmashPad.com. We're going to be talking about the Switch pretty extensively over the week to come. A lot of stuff going to be happening. I'm expecting probably Chris and Dan Rimm will be doing live streams, as long as Nintendo hasn't locked down the HDCP on the Switch, which
is an important. I don't think so. I know Giant Bomb was able to just plug theirs in, and they stopped by with 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
It just worked.
Okay. So
I've got a de-scrambler.
Yeah. So we'll figure
it out. I just need to figure out how to use my capture card to stream.
Mm. Yeah.
Once I do that.
Yeah, grab the new software from VaporMedia. It's got a stream tab on it now.
That's cool.
Yeah, and just click on stream and put in your Twitch credentials, and away you go.
That is fantastic.
Yep. So yeah, I think that's it for this week, guys. Yeah, lots of news, lots of very interesting stuff happening. I'm sure our wallets will probably be crying by the end of the month, but.
Hey. And for a good time to come.
Yeah. So that's it. So with that, I am Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
See you next week.